Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's time for Words of Wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the words of God together. As always, I'm grateful and I'm honored to be able to come before you with a message from God. I pray that everyone had a great week because there's so much tragedy going all around us. There's floods and there's tornadoes and anything that you could imagine is happening. But we have to stay steadfast and stay unremovable in the things of God. We have to hold on to the confession of our faith because we know that God is faithful. And if he said what he would do for us, you can believe it. So just be prayerful for our city and our state and our country and our leaders. It may not be the leaders that you want, but it's all that we have. And we have to ask God to have mercy on us and on the world so that we can stand firm and keep moving on until Jesus returns. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Matthew's. We're going to be in the fifth chapter. We're going to expound on the 13th through the 16th verse. And the title of our lesson is, Let Your Light So Shine. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and play the song, and then we'll come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we'll explore the word of God together. So, you know, we have to realize that no matter what is going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, we have to realize that we serve a faithful God, a God that have all of our best interests at heart, a God that protects us from danger seen and unseen, a God that acts as a loving father with his children. And with that, and knowing that, and believing that, and trusting that, we can make it. Because our God is a faithful God. After the song, I'll be back.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God. Come on, faithful.
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 Faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Yes, he is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take that what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today.
Everybody
sing faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful. Faithful is our
And that was Faithful is Our God. So we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray at this time, God is affording the opportunity. You can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to assemble together the body of Christ to explore your word. Lord, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you for everyone that took time out of their scheduling, cut and tuned in to study with one another. I thank you for your darling son, dear God, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we come to before you tonight with a spirit of expectation that we will hear the word and that we can understand the word and that you would give us revelation and illumination about the intent of the word. And, Lord, please don't let your word return void. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for blessings for the prayer list that we have been compiling. And I ask a special blessing for each and every person that name is on that list. Lord, I also thank you for every listener on the airwaves, dear God, on the computers, on the MP3 players, and any kind of way that they're receiving a word. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you don't let this word return void. Lord, the people that called in and the people that listening have needs, dear God. I don't know what they are, but I'm asking you to meet each and every need. Whatever the situation may be, dear God, I'm asking that you turn it around. Dear God, I'm asking that you just hold them in your unchanging hand. Lord, some may need deliverance. Some may need a financial blessing. Others may have a spiritual, feel they have a spiritual deficiency, dear God. But I want to let them know that they are right where they are. Speak to their hearts, dear God. Regulate their mind. Lord, and I'm going to be so careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. Because, God, you say it in your word that the weapons that are foaming all around us, they won't prosper. Lord, you told us that you're going to allow us to be the head and not the tail. God, you told us if we seek you, you will be found. Lord, you told us that all things going to work together for our good if we love you. Hallelujah. And for all of that, dear God, we say thank you. And glory be to your wonderful name. Lord, I pray that when the Bible study is over on tonight, that you will receive the glory. Your people will be edified. Satan will be horrified, and you will be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. And what I'm going to do right now is say the title of the lesson and give the scripture. I really pray that each and every one of you have your Bibles with you. This is Bible study. And besides the fact that I sometimes break down the scriptures and try to give what God is saying with the aid of the Holy Ghost to the people, I also want you to know that one of my goals is to give you information on how to study the Bible, different words to look for, the how you stop and you meditate and so it all becomes so real to you. I've had in my life experiences, people that I've been doing Bible studies over the years, and they tell me, you know, Sister Diane, they say I read the Bible and I really don't understand it. What I have to do? And really, I have to tell them to just keep reading, because everybody started at some point. And the more you do it, the more you'll understand it, and the more it'll make sense, and the more you can put a precept upon a precept, and the more you will know the intent of the writer and what God is trying to tell you. So, you know, remember that and keep that in mind. But our lesson is coming from the book of Matthews. Matthews is the first book in the New Testament. Matthews was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And our lesson title is, Let Your Light So Shine. And as always, we do a little background or introduction. But tonight's lesson is coming from the Sermon on the Mount. The fifth chapter of Matthews is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. But many people believe that the Beatitudes that's in the fifth chapter of Matthews is the entire Sermon on the Mount. But it's not. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' longest speech and teaching in the New Testament. And it is the entire fifth, sixth, and seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthews. So if you want to hear Jesus preach, you want to check out Jesus' sermon, that's the fifth, sixth, and seventh chapter of Matthews. That was the sermon he did on the Mount. You know, Jesus was letting us know in the sermon that he never promised us a rose garden. You see, life here on earth is filled with trials, tribulation, and adversities. But all through the Sermon on the Mount, he promises that no one would be disappointed in the end. And you see, it's all so filled with blessings. You see, we will receive our just due for our faithfulness and obedience towards the Almighty God. There's a scripture, I don't remember where it's at right now, but God said he never have you to do things that he don't reward you for. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is the most famous sermon Jesus ever gave, and perhaps the most wonderful, famous sermon that was ever given by anyone. You see, the Sermon on the Mount covers several different topics. You know, and it's really not the purpose of this Bible study to comment on every section, but rather give you a brief summary of what it contains. If you was to summarize the Sermon on the Mount in a single sentence, it would be something like this. How to live a life that is dedicated and pleasing to God. If you want to summarize it in one sentence, you know, it would be full of, you'll see that it's full of love and grace and full of wisdom. And it tells you and teaches you how to have a spirit of discernment. But if you look a little closer at these teachings, you will note that the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was teaching this, he was not teaching on how to be saved, but rather the type of character a Christian should have once saved. And he added in how to be blessed. You know, when I say the Beatitudes, I'm sure most of you are familiar with them, and it's really It's really in this fifth chapter. So when I ask you guys to read the entire fifth chapter, you would have seen where they say, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that moan, and all of that. That's the Beatitudes. It's in, he did that on the Sermon on the Mount. And in this same chapter, it starts with the Beatitudes, and then it comes down to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. You see, the Sermon on the Mount can be summed up as simply the Golden Rules. Now, the Golden Rules is not listed in the Bible per se, and neither is them talking about the Sermon on the Mount per se. But we know the Golden Rules teaches that we should do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. The Sermon on the Mount is not teaching you how to be saved, but how to live once you're saved. You see, once you were saved, you were born again and became a citizen in the kingdom of God here on earth. You know, you say a lot of times that I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. You said it, you know, maybe have said it many times. So I asked the question, what world are you in then? And the answer would be, we living in the kingdom of God here on earth. But once you were saved and born again, you became a citizen in the kingdom of God on earth, and you became a member of the body of Christ and a great part of the household of faith. You see, in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are in the household of faith. He's teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount how to operate in the kingdom. And he told us that we have to do good. And he didn't just say to Christians. He said, but we have to do good. And y'all, some people only want to deal with Christians, only want to help Christians because they're so holy that they got to separate themselves. But the scripture here says we have to do good unto all men, especially unto those in the household of faith. You see? So the Sermon on the Mount teaches us how to live, love, and be blessed. And that's our little background for tonight. And I encourage you, you know, sometimes people always tell me, Sister Diane, I don't really know to read, so I take and I open my Bible, and whatever page it falls on, you know, I believe that's what God wanted me to read. Well, no matter what page it falls on, all of the Word of God is good and necessary, and it is strength for you. So you can't go wrong with what you read, but if you're studying, you may want to study a particular subject, you may want to study particular author, you know, those type of things. But a good thing that I'm asking tonight, if you would, just to hear Jesus preach, you have to read the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh chapter of Matthew and see the blessing that God has in store. And you see, when you read that, he's telling you how he's going to bless you. You see, there's so many promises in the Bible, and you don't know the promises because you never maybe read it. So that's our background for tonight. And we're going to start with Matthew, the fifth chapter. We're going to start at the 13th verse, and we're going to read the 13th verse at this time. And the verse reads as follows. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. When we read this, my thing was, you know, I know that Jesus uses words that his audience could relate to, as he did in parables, where he used earthly things so that you could grasp a heavenly meaning. You see, when you read the Word of God, you should always evaluate the words used to fully understand the message. You see, let's take a look at Jesus' reasoning for using the word salt. And he didn't say, you need to be the salt, or you got to learn how to be the salt. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. You see, so I had to visit, you know, the word salt so I can truly understand. You see, salt in Jesus' time had great value. It had great purpose and great worth. You see, salt was used to pay the soldier's salary and had so much value that it is called white gold. Salt had many purposes, and when Jesus used the word salt, he is letting us know who we are, what we are made of, and what we are working with. See, Jesus gave an analogy, you know, in a comparison for us in the characteristics of salt to let us know who we are. He didn't say you have to find a way to become. He said that you are. You see, in this part of the sermon, Jesus is telling us that God has established an intended purpose for our lives before the foundation of the world. But we have to allow him to mold and shape us. Just as the potter works the clay. And now with us being born again, we have the aid of the Holy Spirit that's going to help us from the inside out. And then we can achieve our purpose and become all that God intended for us to be. You see, salt adds flavoring. Hallelujah. It acts as a preservative. It melts coldness and it heals wounds. So when Jesus told his disciples that they were the salt of the earth, he meant that believers have value in this world and should be adding flavor, which is the light in dark places. We should have a preserving influence against evil. So I have to ask you the question tonight. Can anyone see Jesus in your life? If not, maybe you have lost your flavor and you will not be as profitable unto God in the kingdom as you should be. You see, in the days of old, salt was used for flooring material to make the floor durable and strong so that it could handle excessive wear and tear. You see, once we realize that we are truly the salt of the world, we will be able to overcome the wear and tears of our trials, tribulation, adversities, and even our tests. See, God is telling us what we're made of. He's He told us earlier that he didn't promise a rose garden. You know, that we got to deal with these issues in life. But it's never what you have to deal with. It's who you deal with it with. It's who you deal with it with. You know, it's not no matter what comes your way, it's who you go through it with. Is what I was saying. You see, when Jesus used salt, this should let us know that we can handle the issues of life and that all of the weapons that's formed against us will not profit or prosper. You see, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And yes, there are some people that's more salty than others. But you got to give them a chance. You got to let them grow. You got to hold on to them because it's God's perfect will that no one be lost. And God has something for you to do. You see, no, some may be saltier than you, you know, but you got to know we don't all grow at the same pace. And everybody has his design purpose. We just have to learn what God has for us to do because everyone has something to do. And then we have to learn to stay in our lane. God never told you to share the word of God with somebody and that you have to get them saved. He said share it and keep it moving. He didn't ask you to beat them down because they're not where you at. He's not even asking us to look at their outward sins. You know, because in this world, the outward sins is the one people focus on the most. Because the inward sins, they have some as well, and they don't want to address that. And Jesus is the righteous God, the righteous judge. God and Jesus, with these verses, is just letting you know by telling you that ye are the salt of the earth, that he created you. You are valuable. You're strong and resilient. You have resilience. And that's why he used the analogy of salt to let you know that. And if we go to 14, 15 and 16, our last three verses, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it give light unto all that are in the house. And 16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm going to read that again. It says, let your light so shine before men. That means before men in your walk, in your talk, the way you treat people, the way you act. Come on. Let your light so shine before men. And then let them see how you take care of different things and concern about the sick and visit the poor and, you know, all of these things. Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works. And then you see when your light is shining and people can see your good work, they know it's more than you, so they could get a glimpse at God in you. And this is what gives God the glory. You see, when we became a new creature in Christ, when we were born again, we are called to be the light, to be an imitator of God, who is light. And our goal is to take on the image of his Son, to be Christ-like, not Christ, who is the light of the world. You see, once we realize that we are the salt and the light of the world, then we should let our light so shine. You know, as many times, sometimes with the salt, you know, the salt is a solid stuff substance, and salt, you know, keeps its power, unless it's the only way it could diminish from its wholeness is that you add something liquid to it. And then your light can be dimmed. But you see, this only happens when your salt began to lose its flavor and your light began to shine to don't when your light began to dim out. It's because the choices you're making, you're compromising the world with the spirit, or the flesh with the spirit. You know, you settle for that which is convenient and comfortable. And then you expect God to just take it. You know, maybe if God wasn't as long-suffering, and really if you go to the Old Testament, you'll see God was not to be played with. Yes, God is long-suffering. But when he's ready, he can show his wrath. You know, do we settle when we just do things that's comfortable to us rather than that which is truly blessed and pleasing the Lord? You know, there's a scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the 2nd verse. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, when God wrote that scripture, when God chose the children of Israel to be his nation, he thought that they would act like this light that can be set up on a hill in Jerusalem, and all of the other nations could see him, could see them, and they would want to know their God. But instead of the world, instead of us, you know, transforming, let me get it right, the scripture says, be not conformed. Instead of us being transformed, we are being conformed to the things of the world. See, instead of us pulling the people out of the world is pulling us in to them. You know, so many things we are all right with that. It's almost like almost anything goes and we're still Christians. And I'm not talking about not having fun. But we do so many things. We look at TV programs that's just unbelievably not good for your spirit, I'll put it that way. And then sometime you got the children looking at it with you. Because we conforming to the things of the world. And we are settling. And we compromise our faith whenever it's necessary. You know, I know some people who have to take and put their faith on a shelf because some of the things they want to do at that time is so worldly, but they want to do it. So they put their faith on hold. And when they get through doing everything they want to do, they pick it back up. But the scripture says in Proverbs 4:18, says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, the path of the just. You see, the more you know by studying the word of God and then begin to be a doer and not just a hearer, the more you should show. It should be more that should be able to be seen in you, your works and your deeds. Because it's when you're doing it, and you're doing it right, your light is going to shine. You see, people won't read the Bible, but they read you. And some of the things they have to read about some of us is so close to the things of the world that they can't tell who you belong to. You see, some Christians' lights are so dull that no one pay attention to the God they serve. You are not afforded the privilege to do it your way and expect your light to shine. It's amazing that God has equipped us with everything necessary and needed for our light to shine. What I mean here is God ain't asking you to do nothing that he didn't make a way for you to do it. God knew that we are limited, that we have limited power, limited strength, and we could never be fully righteous. So he extended his righteousness towards us in his son Jesus. He said, not by our power or might, but by his power. Come on, y'all. And he said, far as your strength, I'm letting you know I have given you grace, and my grace is sufficient. God has provided everything. So it would be no, you know, I like to always say we live in a time of dispensation where there won't be no excuses. You know, when Jesus come back, people might say, well, I would have, but you didn't. You know, because we live in a world of excuses, and we live in a world of the blame game. You know, every time, you know, some things come that's really, you know, really you're doing or whatever, rather than taking and just accepting it, you know, we always have to say but, or if, a day. But, you know, you're not going to be able to tell that to God, because God did everything that was necessary. And he said, just look, he said, love me with your whole heart and love your neighbors as yourself. You see, but he just didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to equip you to be able to do it. So you see what he did? He gave us ample time to do the things that he wants us to do for him. And he knew how much time we needed to do the things for ourselves. He allowed 24 hours to be the time frame. And don't you know, as smart as God in all of his wisdom, if 24 hours was not enough time, he would have made a day 36 hours. So to all of us who say at different times in our lives when it's up against the things of God that we just don't have time. Oh, I didn't read the scriptures. I just didn't have time. I didn't pray. I just didn't have time. I didn't go to church because I just didn't have time. I didn't do this. I didn't do that because you didn't have time. And it's so, what really amazes me and freaks me out is that we live in a world that everything is quick. When I look at the contractors coming to a house and do work, and they used to have to nail the nail with a hammer, and now they got a gun and they shoot the nail in. And even most of the contractors is not fulfilling their obligations, don't stay on the job long enough with all the equipment they have. And it should go so fast. But that's the world we live in. But I'm back to what I was saying. God has given us everything. He said, love me and love your neighbor. But he didn't stop there. So what he did, he gave us ample time. And he gave us more than enough resources. Some people might say, oh, I don't have much to give. And when you're giving, it don't always have to be monetary. Come on, y'all. More than enough resources. And then he gave us gifts. And some people say, I don't have a gift. But I want you to know that the word of God teaches us that God has given everyone a gift. Some have more than one. Everyone has at least one and many talents. Because you see, you got to look at this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Right here, we see why God equipped the saints, why God gave an intended purpose, why God used different people for different things. Because if he set up a kingdom here on earth, he wanted to operate like a well-oiled machine. And the people who were living in a kingdom, he knew who they would be because they accepted his son. So we living in a kingdom, and everything that is necessary for kingdom living, he has provided it within us, for us. You have to remember, God never asked you to accomplish anything without giving you the provisions necessary for you to accomplish it. It's never predicated on your strength, your righteousness, or your power, but it's all about God working in you for his glory. Y'all got to remember, he created us for his glory, and he's given us everything that we could give back that would give him glory. Let your light shine. Realize you the salt of the earth. Come on now. Where's the flavor? You see, Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. It didn't say God needs you to do this. And it say it is God that is working in you to will and to do his good pleasures. You see, so now the question is, can God use you? Or do you feel that there is not much you can do? Or you may feel, I don't have the time, or I don't have enough money to give. Everyone has something to do, and everyone has something to give. And let me tell you how I know it. Because that's just the way that God planned it. Once you were saved, can anyone see God in you? I ask again. If God ever did anything for you, you should be willing to tell somebody. You know, our greatest job is to go and spread the word of God. There's somebody out there that won't get it unless you give it to them. That's why there's so many preachers. You know, every preacher is not for everybody. Every teacher is not for everybody. I realize my program is not for everybody. But God got a somebody for everybody. Learn how to articulate your faith and use the word of God as your calling card. Don't hide it under a bush where it will be dim, but lift it up high so that all could see and know that you are a child of the King, and they may decide they want some of what you got. And then God will get the glory. We have to remember, we were created by God to give him glory. God has designed it that once we were saved, we receive a gift. The Holy Spirit came and lived in us, and the Holy Spirit brought the fruit of the Spirit. When the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Ghost has given and put in everybody that is saved, and if there's anyone out there that's not saved and would like to receive that gift of grace from God, you can press the one button, or you could call me on the prayer line, and we could do the prayer of repentance. But everyone that is saved, the Holy Ghost came and lived inside of him. The package that came with him for everybody was the fruit of the Spirit. That's the nine virtues: the love, the peace, the joy, the faith, the long-suffering, goodness, meekness. Y'all know what they are. That's in you. The reason it don't have an S on the word fruit is because he want them to all work together for your good. He don't want you to say, well, I done mastered that patient thing, but I'm weak in my faith, and I'm good sometimes, and I ain't all that meek. But the point is, it's your job to get them all synchronized. No, it's your job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he synchronizes them in you. But when you get them operating in your life, they will shine bright with love leading the way. Because you know it's nine virtues and love is one. But you know if you love everybody, they say it will take care of all of the law and all of the prophets. You see, you don't have to go around sounding an alarm about how good and spiritual you are. If you are operating in faith, others should be able to see your fruit and give God the glory. Jesus said, those who light shine are the ones that, and he used this example, for when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. He said, and the other ones that light's going to shine bright is those who remember the orphans and the widows. Are we about our Father's business? Are we concerned what kind of way people perceive us? Do you know you're the salt of the earth? Ye are the salt. And as I close tonight, I want to let you know, you are not doing good to be saved. But once you are saved, you should want to do good for your master who gave his only begotten son, for Jesus who bared the beatings and the torment of the cross. If God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost did these things for us, what do we give in return? Remember, you are the salt. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. So just let your light so shine, doing what God has commanded and asked us to do, with him providing the provisions and him equipping us to be able to do it, and him giving us all of these gifts to be able to do it. So just let your light shine so that God can get the glory. That's our program for tonight. You know, you have to ask yourself, after becoming a Christian and being a Christian for so long, do you make a difference in anybody's life? Can you influence anyone's life? And I had an incident which made me do this program. The other day, I have my little guard child. His name is Kane Waterhouse, Kane with a K, not a C. But Kane Waterhouse, Edward Waterhouse to be exact. He's 3 years old, and the question came up about working, and he was naming everybody in a job. He told me his grandmother worked at the restaurant. My daughter worked at the school, so I asked him, did my grandson work? And he told me, no, he go to school. So someone said, well, where your nanny work? He said, my nanny work at the church. I've never told him that. He haven't been to the church on, you know, so many occasions with me where he know that. But that child told a person, he said, my nanny work at the church. And I said, wow. And that's what made me kind of think about doing Let Your Light So Shine. And then another incident happened the other day. We have a young man that got killed. We had a young man that was killed in our neighborhood about 2 weeks ago. And some of the people in the neighborhood decided to do a vigil for him. And the people called me up to pray. And it kind of amazed me a little bit because, you know, we have a lot of preachers in the Lower Ninth Ward, a lot of churches. You know, some say they're apostles, some say they're disciples, some say they're bishops, and we got a lot of elders and ministers and all of that, but it amazed me that the people called me. Now, I'm not saying this to say, like, I'm so good or so not, because I'm telling you it amazed me that they called. But you have to let your light so shine. And those two events happened, and that's what caused me to write, to do this lesson tonight. So if anyone would like to say anything, please press the one button on your phone and comment on the lesson. If you want to ask for prayer for someone, if you want to give encouragement, if you want to ask a question about the lesson, and if there's anyone out there that don't know God and the pardon of their sins, you know, please, please press the one button. If there's no one who would like to say anything, ask for prayer or anything at this time, we're going to go ahead and close, and I'm going to do a benediction. And y'all know what my favorite one is by now. But I'm quoting 2 Peter, 3rd chapter and 18th verse, where Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to leave you with, to God be the glory. If no one has anything to say, that's going to end our program tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week, same time, same station. So I'm asking God that he continue to bless each and every one of you in the blessings that you are in need of. So with all of that being said, I want to remind you that God loves you, and so do I. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. Good night, and be blessed.